You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
It was 24 years before we got back together.
24 years.
To the day. February 26, 2018 is when we got back together.
When I saw him again, he had always been there. And like I said, we went through two marriages here, two marriages there, another relationship here that I was really praying myself out of that relationship and getting counseling, receiving asking God for confirmation. I kept getting confirmation after confirmation after confirmation.
Yeah.
And then he sends me a text one day and just says, ask how I'm doing and just ask if he could pray with me. And I was like, what? Can you pray for me and the kids? Of course you can. And then it is history from there.
God heard your prayer.
Absolutely.
I aim to make emotional healing a global norm through cultivating candid discussions about love.
My parents got married and divorced to each other 3 times. Or you can look at it as they kept trying. In the end of my father's life, that's what he told me.
I aspire to mend marriages.
I'm intentional about loving her because now I understand that, you know, I was able to be free in loving me, then I could love her.
Reignite hope for singles seeking future relationships.
How can you glory in being single and want a companion at the same time? How can you not?
I know.
You're only going to be as successful as a wife as you were at a single.
And inspire men to lead their homes in accordance with biblical principles.
When I made my vows, I told God that I was going to take care of this gift. This is my gift.
Oh, God.
And I was obligated to see after him and him alone.
Join me on this journey where these heartfelt and vulnerable conversations form the patchwork for the quilt that will envelop my future wife.
I have accepted their opinions without criticism. And the theme is that I'm happy and I want to be happy in the future.
I'm LaTerrisaw Whitfield. Welcome to the Dear Future Wifey Podcast. Welcome to the Dear Future Wifey Podcast. I'm your host, LaTerrisaw Whitfield. Listen, we are in season 8. Are you still shacking up with us? Come on. If you're still shacking up with us, can we get a commitment? Come on. We've been dating each other for the last 3 years. Can we get a commitment? Hit that subscription button and subscribe. Make sure you turn on your notification bell so you'll be notified about upcoming episodes. And we've added a link in the description. Make sure that you hit that link, sign up for our mailing list so you'll be notified when we come to your city with the live podcast or when we take these trips. And we have an exciting 4-year anniversary event in April that I want to make sure that you know about. And so make sure you subscribe. Well, this is a season. This season, we haven't even given it a title. And so I'm not even going to give it a title because I want God to lead me and the people that we interview. But the heartbeat of it, my mindset, is getting couples that represent love, the epitome of love, purpose partners, long-lasting love, love that weathers the test of time. Today, I have an amazing couple on the podcast. I was doing a live podcast. I was doing an IG live earlier this month, and I met this amazing gentleman. And I said, you know what? I got to have you on the podcast because y'all know my mission is to get more men not only to watch the podcast, but to show up at our live events, to show up at our retreats, in hopes I can find y'all husbands. You know what I'm talking about? I'm trying to get y'all married up here in these Dayton streets. And so whenever I have a brother pull up, I say, you know what? I got to break bread with you through conversation and bring you on the podcast. So without further ado, welcome to Dear Future Wifey podcast. My homies, the Matthews. How y'all doing?
We're good. Thank
you. Y'all good?
Yes. How are you? Yes.
Are y'all nervous?
Yes.
Why?
I'm nervous because this is the first time we've ever done anything like this. So just thinking about, I guess, the people that are going to view it and the amount of people that are going to view it and see us is nerve-wracking.
Nerve-wracking. So why are you here? What made you decide to brave the nervousness and come on the Dear Future Wifey podcast? Greg, about to say something.
For me, I don't know if you understand the impact that this has on people. I think sometimes we're so accustomed to doing something that we're so into it that we can't zoom out and see it. And so for me, it's like the seriousness of how this impacts relationships, how does it impact how men see themselves, how men can see themselves in other men, and how powerful this is in helping men let down walls to become comfortable, to be able to say, hey, I can trust again, I can love again. And so like my nervousness comes from wanting to represent it in a way that other men, families, relationships, women, young people, whoever, when they see it, they can see themselves, not see a person and connect with what God has for them and get past whatever hurt, whatever mistakes they've made, whatever failures they've been. So my nervousness comes to wanting to represent it in a way the way it can really impact
them. Well, let me tell you something. You represented well on the live because through your candor, it made me say, I gotta have y'all come here. What do you remember saying on that live that resonated with me? What did you say?
I think it was the Cosby thing when I said, like, the two men that represented my life was Bill Cosby and her daddy.
Yeah.
Joe Whitehead. So.
What's your wife's name?
Shaquila Matthews.
Shaquila Matthews. And so what made you reference that as the father figures or the examples that taught you masculinity or manhood?
So, like, watching the Cosbys growing up, you always see Bill and how he represented how silly and engaging he was with the kids and how like diverse all the kids were. And like for me, the way we grew up in my household, I was like, okay, it was just a single mom. It was my mom, me and my brother. And so for me, it was like I knew at that moment I want to be married. I want to make sure I'm there for my kids. I want to have this type of loving relationship. Even though it's fictitious, I want to have this type of relationship. So as I grew older, started dating, I started realizing, hey, I need to make sure that whoever the young lady God has for me or I'm a date, I need to watch how her interaction is with her dad. Because that's going to tell me a lot how I'm going to get treated.
Yeah.
And so, like, you know, you go to high school, you in high school, hormones raging. You know what I'm saying? And so you just like, okay, God, my hormones are raging, but how does this thing supposed to look? And you may laugh, man, but my ninth grade year, I was like, how could I see it? My hormones were raging. They was talking. And so that summer, I was praying. I said, God, you got to send me my wife. I said, what is she? Yes.
Hold on.
Yes.
You were how old? 16?
No, I was maybe almost 15 at the time. I was almost 15.
And you said, God, you got to send me my wife at 15 years old.
Because
you was like, horny.
Yes.
Because you wanted something.
The basics of it, right? You know what I mean? That's what right, drives any man to really, let's be honest. Especially at that age, man, you're trying to control that thing, right? And so.
That's why it made sense that back in the biblical days, they got married at younger ages
sure
like
did,
that.
Exactly.
Yeah, they got
the
married
at. Hormones kick in. Yeah. You can't think straight.
you can't think straight.
You can't see straight. Your eyes are crossed.
And so you said that something. You said, God, send me my wife.
Yeah, I'm like, well, I need you to send me my wife. I need to know who my wife is. And I said, because God, I can't keep going through this, right?
Was you a Christian?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Absolutely. In the sense of how we all grew up.
Yeah,
you know what
yeah.
I mean? And so going into my 10th grade year, went into that computer class, and this girl here was looking at me. Because I knew her from my freshman year. I saw her, but like I was like, too many guys around her. You know what I mean?
Because she was pulling like that, Shaquilla?
Maybe a little bit. Just a little something. Just a little bit. Just a little bit. A little
bit. Yeah. He said a lot of bit.
But I had to lock him down when I saw him. I was like, that's him right there.
So you was checking for him too?
I was checking for him.
Really?
When I saw him in that computer class, it's funny because I remember being in the hallway, and I didn't say anything to him in the computer class, but I was in the hallway and I was walking with a friend then, and I said, let me show you this guy. I'm gonna get him. He gonna be my boyfriend.
I'm gonna get him.
We looked through the classroom door and I pointed directly at him. I was like, yes, that is him.
Did you see him do that?
No, clueless. Clueless. Go ahead.
I was gonna say that class, the computer class, we were in competition with each other trying to see who could type the fastest.
he had a flashback. He's like, yeah, I remember. Yes. And then so then how did y'all connect? Who walked up to who and made the first move?
So that's the thing that I know going to Bunny Trail, like in Atlanta, women are aggressive in Atlanta. Not in a negative sense of like, I'm going to hit you over the head with a log.
Oh, so that's where y'all lived at the time?
Yeah, yes. Yeah, we're okay. From Atlanta, born and raised. And so, like, she knew my cousin. So she wrote a note to my cousin, said, hey, give him this note. Let him know. So I'm sitting in lunch. It might have been 2 or 3 days later. My cousin like, hey, cuz. Like, what's up? Bro. Bro. He said, hey, you know Kiki? I said, Kiki? Who's Kiki? Shaquilla, the girl in your class. I said, oh, yeah, yeah. He said, here you go. Read that and just holler at me later. And so when I read the note, I was like, what?
God, you heard my prayer. God, you.
Boy, you know, you straighten your tongue a little bit. Like, yeah, I'm that dude, you know? But and then it just kind of went from there.
So Shaquilla, what attracted you to Greg? Like, what made him stand out?
It was high school, so I was just looking at the looks, and he was on the football team.
Oh, he played football, okay.
Yeah, he was nice, you know. He presented himself well. He wasn't like a lot of the other guys in school with us. And you got to think, we grew up in inner city Atlanta, and the school that we went to was like Lean On Me, if you've ever seen Lean On Me. Yeah. So it was pretty much like that. Yeah. So that was my pickings.
Yeah.
So he was that dude.
Oh my God.
So Greg.
Yes, sir.
So what was it about her?
You know how like you ever seen the movie Love and Basketball?
Oh yeah.
She didn't play basketball, but like she had a way about her. Even though there was a lot of guys around her, she didn't carry herself in a manner that it was sexual.
Right.
If I can say it that way. It was just like she was very open, very approachable. She was like the tomboy's girl. Like, if you think about TLC and all that, how they carry tennis shoes, jeans.
Yeah.
That was her. She was like a tomboy. But she was cool with everybody. And she never was, like, disrespectful. But she was one of the pretty girls that people may be like, hey, man, she just a pretty girl. She ain't gonna do nothing. But she also dot your eye. So she catch you with a two-piece. You know what I mean? She was one of them. You know how people try
it? That's it.
She catch you with a two-piece. So she had that about her too, and so it was.
You
just
found that sexy?
Yes, I did. You don't want nobody who you can push over. You know what I'm saying? And she wasn't having it. She wasn't having it. So at all?
Not at all.
And so she gave you the letter, and then you was like, "I'm that dude." And then what?
So we started talking in class, and then it just kind of started growing from there. Phone conversations, just keep talking up on the phone. No, because her dad didn't play either. She had to get out the phone at 8:00. You called 7:59. Joe Whitehead was at that phone with his watch.
You were the only guy I could talk to.
Hey, man. So
for real?
Yes.
Your dad approved of him that early?
Yes.
Why?
I have no idea. My dad approved of him so much till once we got into dating, we was at the Boys and Girls Club and stuff together. My dad would come to his events, his basketball games,
really?
His football. Yes. And then I remember I lived in Mechanicsville. We were walking down the street and my dad owned two houses on the street. And I remember him telling him that the other house was going to be his first house that he gives to us.
When we got married.
And I'm like, married? Yeah.
This is at 16.
Yes.
16, he said that to me.
16 years old.
I asked you, if this was a Lifetime movie, what would be the name of your love story? And what did you say, Greg?
My Forever Love.
My Forever Love. Today's episode is titled My Forever Love. So, Greg.
Yes.
Did she tell you that her father said that that young?
No. So this is the thing. We were walking. And like I noticed, and it's vivid to me. We were walking down the street in Mechanicville, and then she faded back to the rear. And then we were walking, we got close, and I'm like, so he was talking, and then he was like, "Hey, Greg, you see the house right there?" I said, "Yes, sir." He's like, "You know, when you and Key get married, that's gonna be the house I'm gonna get y'all." And I was stunned because I'm looking for her to jump in and say something because it caught me way off guard.
I can imagine.
It did. And it was because of how I was raised in a lot of ways. Like, I look at it now as an older man. That was healthy. That was generational. That was yes. legacy.
Yes.
Right? That was lineage. That was putting my kid in the right place to be productive and successful in life. But because I didn't have any voices around me to reinforce what I know now, you just up to your own thoughts. And you don't want to say it to nobody because then they start taking it like, oh, that man just trying to marry you all. He's trying to get my son to marry his daughter because of this, that. And the, you know, because they come from an unhealthy place. Yeah.
Yeah.
They just trying to get my son to marry his daughter. Da, da, da. And so, like, I didn't have a solid source to share that information with and glean from. So I was left to my own thoughts, which ain't always a good place.
So you looked at it from a negative perspective?
Just a scared perspective.
Okay.
Because I'm like, I ain't ready to get married. I'm broke.
Even though, no, hold on. Now, you done prayed the prayer right. to the Lord. You done forgot what you prayed.
Yes.
You said that the summer. And yeah. then God brings that thing like only he can. And you like, hold on now, God, I ain't ready for this. I ain't ready for this. I ain't ready. Ain't that crazy? Isn't that just like us Israelites?
Like, yes, I'm absolutely. You get what you pray for, and then you start getting scared because you want to control it, really, is what it is. You want to control how God give it to you. And God like, nah, okay, I'm going to give it to you. This is how it's going to look.
So then y'all dated. How long did y'all date before y'all broke up?
This is part.
I'm going to take this part. Listen. Yeah, this is my part right here.
Can I step out?
No, I'm going to sit right here.
You're going to sit right here
and take this. You're going to take this.
The whole day.
And this.
Jesus. Oh my God.
So what had happened was,
mm-hmm. when a black woman starts off and say what had happened was, oh, it's going to get real interesting. Yes. So go ahead, Kiki.
So we dated for a full year and a half, right? Always together, everywhere together. And I get this phone call that said, did you call my house and tell my mama that you was pregnant? I said, no. Why would I call your house and say that I was pregnant and I'm not pregnant? Like, I don't play those type of games.
I think you called the wrong person. Is it?
Exactly. So he, being the young 16-year-old male that he was, he believed it. He believed it.
That you called.
That I was the one that called and got his mom up in a fuss, my mother-in-law, who I love so dearly, but got her up in a fuss saying that I was pregnant and I did not. So he thought that I was lying. And I had to come to realization that, okay, that him being told that by his mom, okay, that's believable. That's his mom. But on the other hand, I'm like, listen, I ain't called y'all. You better go check one of these other little females around here that's wanting to be with you because it wasn't me. And so we broke up. Yeah, close your eyes, babe.
Yes, ma'am.
We broke up in the summer of our senior year. I end up changing schools.
Well, you can't just bypass this now. Yeah. Now, who is this woman that called, Greg?
Yeah, so Greg.
This is... the heartbreak.
I left that part to you.
Yes, I know you did. You're so wrong and petty.
She gave you a little alley oop right over there. Yeah.
So,
okay,
nobody called.
Nobody called?
No.
What happened?
You want me to say it? I'll say it.
All right. So, someone was trying to figure out what was going on. Why is this young lady so into my son? Why are they so connected? Why are they so engaged with each other in this manner, right? Why are they so strong? So it was in the flesh, you think, they must be doing something. So that was told to me to see my reaction to see if I was doing something I probably wasn't supposed to do.
Really? Mm-hmm. Really? So your mom said that?
Yes, I love my mom dearly. No one say anything to my mom. Mom is an awesome woman.
Yes, she is.
Please don't come for my mom. Please don't.
don't do it.
They gonna come for your mama.
Don't come for my mom.
So your mama told you that just to see the reaction to see if you say.
See if I was having sex.
Was you?
We were.
Mama, now you found out. They was goosing, Mama.
I was his first.
Yes. And my last. First and last.
Last and my everything.
Yes.
That should be named the episode. First, last, and everything.
Exactly.
Yes, baby.
So, Greg, you're saying it's the only woman you've had sex with in your entire life?
No, it's not.
Okay. It's not. It's so, not. So then y'all broke up, and then what happened?
She went to another school. A whole different school.
And he started dating this little basketball chick.
Hey.
Don't do me. He asked what happened.
He started dating some basketball chick. So what is this? Is this y'all junior year or senior year at this point?
This was our senior year.
Senior year.
At this point.
And so you went to a whole nother school.
Yep.
Did y'all lose contact during that time? Or did y'all keep in contact?
We didn't lose contact, but we didn't talk.
Okay.
We still had each other's information, but we didn't talk. I started dating other people. He started dating other people. We would check in with each other here and there.
So y'all broke up because of him calling you, accusing you of calling his mama, saying you're pregnant.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you said, you looked at it as, well, it must be some other chick you've been messing around with in order for you to be making a phone call like this anyway, because it wasn't me.
Yes.
So y'all broke up totally over a misunderstanding.
Yes.
Over a lie.
Yeah, a lie.
Yeah.
And then you're dating somebody, and then what happened? What happened through this trajectory? What happened? How did y'all reconnect, and how long did it take for y'all to converse again?
Man, listen. So, of course, I dated someone else, but it wasn't, like, to this level. It was nothing like that. It was all platonic. It wasn't going anywhere, right? It's kind of like you start trying to connect the dots on things that you think you want. You want somebody who's athletic. You want somebody who plays sports. You want somebody who do this, that, and the third. So you start living a freaking fantasy instead of, you know, honoring what it is that you trust to God for.
Yeah.
So for me, it was a period of that, but it was always her. She was always the measuring stick from the point of mom and dad was in a life. Dad was very involved. Mom was involved. She had a huge family. Like, she got more relatives than probably Abraham, right? And I'm not lying. On her mama's side and her daddy's side, they got Abraham beat. Like, she unless their family in Abraham's bloodline, you know what I'm saying?
We are the sons of Abraham.
I'm telling you. And it's 85% female.
Oh, wow.
That's a lot of us.
85% female, fellas.
So, yeah, dudes, if you're looking for a woman, go to their family reunion.
They don't play. They about their business.
Y'all better come correct and be ready.
Well, let me ask you this, Shaquila. Yeah. What did your dad say when y'all broke up? Did he know why?
My dad did not know why.
He's going to know now.
Yeah, he'll know now. He'll know now. But, no, he did not know why. I don't really remember what my dad said, but I remember my mom. Mama was very vocal. And she told, what she tell you, babe?
We don't go backwards. We don't go backwards. We don't go back. Once we go forward, we don't go back. I was like, dang.
Are you talking when you came back around?
Well, like, because we would still see each other.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Like, we was in Wendy's when Wendy's was good.
So we
was
go
in
backwards.
Wendy's when they had her, you know, before they died.
A long time ago.
Before they died. You know, after Dave died, Wendy's ain't good. So we was at Wendy's. I walked
Wendy's,
in.
Wendy's, if you still like to sponsor my podcast, just know that I do not.
He does not
support,
have that same viewpoint.
I do
viewpoint.
Not support what my brother Greg said.
We was at Wendy's, walked in, and I locked eyes with her mom. I was like, oh boy. And she was like, hello. I was like, yes, ma'am. How are you? I'm good. What are you doing here? I said, well, getting something to eat. Okay. And then she turned her head, and I was like, let me get out of here. I said, because she ready to kill me. Dad was very pleasant. So Greg speaking to this day, he's an amazing man. And so we talked, and then I got out of that situation as far as getting from around, because I felt
But your mom didn't know why y'all broke up either.
But she knew she was hurt.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that resonated with me, how I hurt her. Like, she was devastated.
I mean, I imagine so. Because she's believing that you... And in about 9 months, it's going to be a baby pop-up. You know what I'm saying?
That part.
That's the part. That's the trauma. It's like, my boyfriend got somebody else pregnant. Mm-hmm. That's her reality up until, like, when did that, at what point did y'all have a conversation that you don't have a kid on the way?
It never came to that because she knew I ain't got nobody pregnant because it was just her.
Nah, right. She broke up with you. She didn't know too much.
He broke up
with me.
I was the one who broke up.
Yes, he broke up with me.
That's why it devastated, because I don't want to serve at the time.
Oh.
And she never got a justification as to why. Because she knew she didn't make that call. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, you taking the word of somebody and you don't trust me.
Oh, wow.
And then you're going to break up with me. So it just left her stuck.
Yeah.
And in a real hurt place. And then I hurt her. Man, I know I hurt her, man. I heard bad, bro.
And then, so how long did it take for y'all to have a conversation, air everything out, and try love again?
It took years. He went off to college. I dabbled in college a little bit, and then I just started working. And, of course, dating other people. He was dating other people. And then I would go... Even at college, he played football in college, and I went to his games. You know, I was the little cheerleader still, but we never hooked back up in a sense.
So y'all still friends?
We remain friends. Yeah, we came, absolutely. You know, we remain friends. The air still hadn't been cleared.
Did y'all go to the same college?
No.
Okay.
No.
I went to a whole other state. I had to get out of Georgia.
And you went to go support him?
I did.
In another state?
With his mom.
My mama picked up and brought her to the game.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yes. We were friends, like, and when he would come in town, he would come and see me. I went to his uncle's wedding with him. Oh, we were not dating. Yeah. Like, we would show up at the high school reunions together. We were not dating. We were friends. We never interfered with each other's other relationships, but we were friends. Like, he had become, how can I say it, in college, he...
Super saved?
Yeah, he was super saved. Super like, saved. Super. And so.
Full armor. Yes.
When he did come back.
Said, how do I say this?
Yeah. Right. I'm like, how do I say this?
Super saved.
When he did come back around, I remember standing outside. He came to see me. I remember standing outside talking to him. And at that point, he expressed his interest in dating again. But me, I was living what I thought was my best life then. And I was like, listen, I'm seeing him and, you know.
And him and him.
Yeah, him and him. And they was, you know, keeping a girl for what we thought was being kept back then. So I was cool. And I told him, I said, listen, I'm not about to be nobody's first lady.
You done made the man a preacher.
I done made him a preacher. He was super saved, okay? And I was like, I am not about to be nobody's first lady. I could just see the distraught in his eyes and his face when I made that statement.
It hurt your feelings, Greg.
It did.
Did you see yourself? Did you feel like God was calling you to ministry?
Honestly, I just wanted to be served. I knew I wanted to serve God. Whether that was in ministry, whether that was in the community, whether that was taking out trash cans. I didn't care, man. I just wanted to make sure that I felt God's presence. I was close to him and whatever I was doing, and I felt him leading me in my life. So whether that was in a pulpit, whether that was outside the church, wherever that was, wherever you at, God, that's where I want to be. So that's.
So when she said what she said to you, how did you feel?
It hurt for a second, but I understood it. Because part of the story that she's not also mentioning is like, because like I had such an attachment to her. And at first, I thought it was a soul tie. I went through deliverance prayers. I went through the declarations. I'm being 100 with you, like, cause I want to make sure my heart is pure. Like, good. I don't want to experience the hurt, and I don't want to cause that hurt to her or anyone else like that ever again. And so, for me, whenever I was with her, like, that was such a strong draw, and I knew in my head all I can equate it to was sexual.
Yeah,
because it wasn't like I was trying to tackle it.
Yeah,
I'm gonna take this. No, it wasn't. It wasn't on that level. But it was more like, man, I love this woman. Like I want to be in this woman's presence. I want to cater to this woman. I want to make sure she's good and whatever she needs, I want to give it to this woman. And it was like, how can you do all of that and have them emotions and not make sure you complete that connection? And so for me, it was like, hey, I love you. I want to be with you. I want to be in a relationship with you. But give me some time. Just give me a moment. Because I was scared to be alone with her. I was scared to spend. And it ain't even. It's like I'm dismissing her own strength.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at me. You know what I mean? Because I'm going to figure out a way to try to whatever. And so I was trying to like, let me see if I can get stronger is what I was saying. So I can come back to you and have control of my emotions, my desire for you, right? I want to be able to control that desire for you. So I want to be with you. I want to be in a relationship. Because I had just came back from a mission trip from Africa. That's what she didn't say. And so now I was like, give me some time, baby. Let me get my emotions together so I can date you. Because, like, I came to her house. She was on the porch talking. Man, that was the quickest conversation. Because the minute I looked in her eyes and started talking to her, all these emotions started. Because I hadn't dated nobody at that point. I hadn't been sexually intimate nobody for about seven, 8 years at that point.
Well, dang, how old are you at this point? 20, 25, 26?
No. So it was two times. Okay. That point, it was three, 4 years.
So how old were you? Let's go by age.
22 the first time.
So right after college?
Yeah, like a year after college. Oh, now I was going into my senior year. Yeah. Senior year. It's my senior year. So I was about 21.
Yeah, 21.
And it had been like 3 or 4 years at that point.
So and so the conversation she talking about where she said, I can't be married to a preacher, what was that, the first time or the second time?
That was that one. That was because I just came back.
The 21.
Mm-hmm.
And then you said, if you give me some time, I can be the man you need, but there's a lot of lust inside of me. We've known each other since our teenage years. I don't mean to hurt you, but I got to leave before I cheat. When you love someone, you just don't treat them bad. How I feel so bad.
Yes,
feel so now sad. That I want to leave. She's crying her heart to me. Why can't we let this be? I just need time to be where I want to be.
That was it.
And so that's what you said to her. So you said that to her, and then in your mind, the time that you were looking for was what? To get strong in the Lord so that you could overcome sexual temptation?
Well, I think I just want to get to the point to where I can marry her, we can move into a place, and we could be solid.
Okay.
Instead of like, you know, you coming out of college, you don't know. But here's another attachment. I had a brother with me that I thought was my brother in the Lord. We sat at the table. We was at Red Lobster. That's where Red Lobster was popping.
Yeah, but them biscuits still, hitting.
Yeah, so, and I remember sitting at the table, and this was my brother, and she leaned on my shoulder.
Red Lobster, if you ever like to sponsor the podcast,
kill it all,
feel free to send me an email. We would love to have your sponsorship.
Yes. With Amen. The cheddar biscuits.
And the cheddar biscuits. The cheddar. Amen. Let the Lord use you.
Right,
go ahead.
And, so she leaned on my shoulder, and I was like, okay, God. And then she leaned on my shoulder, and she wrapped around my arm, and my biological brother was sitting here, and then my spiritual brother was sitting there. He looked at me, hey, you need to handle that. You need to handle that. You need to be careful. I said, it's the spirit of lust. I'm like, okay, bro, whatever. And so I kind of, because we had been walking.
Super saved, don't
yeah, bro.
Talk,
and so saved. Because we had been walking together, I took that to heart, to consideration. And so when we was on that porch talking, I heard that voice again. And so I was like, okay. I said, okay, God, I want to do this the right way. And the right way is I don't want to approach in a sexual manner. I said, okay, God. And so I said, babe, give me time. I want to be with you. But just give me a moment to get through this.
What did you hear? Hold on. What did you hear in that moment?
That I don't want to be with you.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And then what? So you said, give me some time. And then how much time did it take for you to come back around carrying the full arm of God and saying, I can now take upon you to be my bride and cover you and protect you?
This is funny. We stayed in touch. I would check on
her. Shaking her head.
Whenever I came home, somebody had blessed me with a car. I came home. And then at this point, she had a... she called me one day. We was talking.
You called me.
She said, let's be clear, you called me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we were talking. And I was like, what's wrong? She said, well, I got something to tell you.
And I said, I'm sitting here with my fiance.
Oh, God. Oh, it hurt me. Oh, I'm wounded. Oh, I'm dead. Man down. Oh, God.
Yep.
Ooh, that hurt.
Yep.
Ooh, Greg. He traumatized me.
So I called her. She the first time.
I'm coming right back in five minutes. She hung up.
Okay. So I called back 5 minutes later. Hey, what's up? And then I'm sitting here with my fiance. Who? My fiance.
He said either I got a body double or
you what? Exactly.
Yo what? My fiance. Oh, okay. All right. And then she hung up.
How long? Now, what age were you at that point? Man, 21 was when you had the conversation. Give me some time.
Let me see. Jaden was born 22.
So it was next year. 22.
I am 4 months older than him. I'm surprised he ain't told y'all yet because he claimed
he got older, I robbed
the cradle. Yeah, I came and got him out the cradle.
She picked me right up. Like, I want that one right there. I like the way that diaper hangs.
Right
that
there. She pointed at you in the computer class. That's the baby I want. And so a year later, you got engaged?
I was engaged.
Oh, Greg, I feel your pain. And then what happened?
And pregnant.
Oh, it's double pain. Mm-hmm. Oh, Jesus. Wounded. He was still mad. Greg, you got to let this go, Greg.
I do.
You got it. You won. You won, Greg.
She hurt. But I feel like I couldn't be mad at her, though, because I hurt her. I know I hurt her in high school.
Well, it's not even so much about her. You're not choosing her. It's that like, because you had all the opportunity to get it if you want to. The hurt, she's past the hurt at this point because she's allowed you, she's supporting you again. Mm-hmm. She's going to your games. She's been present. She has this great bond with your mom. You know what I'm saying? So they kicked it. She's a part of the family. And mm-hmm. you still saying, I'm going to curb you a little bit. Just give me a little time. So she's like, you know what? This man don't want me. Mm-hmm. And when somebody else said, will you, which was a question, and she responded yes, then he chose her.
Exactly.
And then what happened with said fiance? Look, he's smiling now.
Got my toe.
Well, with that said fiance, we got married, and I am a new published author, right? The Beautiful Brokenness. So most of the story is in that book. But with said fiance, we got married. We moved down to South Georgia, and we stayed married for a while. Me and Greg didn't talk again for years. That relationship and going through that, I'm trying to figure out the best way to put it. It really showed me who I was. I lost who I was in that relationship. And not to say that he was a bad guy, because he wasn't a bad guy. His father, my kids, wasn't a bad guy. But that relationship, I dealt with infidelity. I dealt with all types of trauma. I dealt with all types of women calling and telling me all kinds of stories. But with that, the day before we got married, my aunt came to me and she said, are you sure this is what you want to do?
Your aunt.
My aunt. She said, you can call this off right now.
What did she see at that time for her to say that?
Well, I had gotten news. I had received some news that said person was cheating the night before. Before we got married, and with one of my best friend's husband at the time, they were together cheating. And also some information.
You said with one of my best friend's husband at the time.
Yes. So my best friend was married at the time as well. Her husband and my then husband
was cheating
became
with,
friends, and they were out cheating.
Oh, okay.
Together.
Because that sounded a little different.
Yeah,
when you
not,
said
not
that.
The two men.
Yeah, you
together,
said my
no.
best they friend were, husband.
Yeah, let me clarify that. ATL. No, no.
This ain't that ATL.
No, to each his own, but yeah, not that. So, and I had also received information.
Greg, what made you put your hand on her when she was telling this tough part of the story?
I wanted to feel supported, though. She ain't alone in what she meant through. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It ain't all on her. Mm-hmm. You know, we gonna get through it together, whatever it is.
So you feel, because I wanna take a pause right here in this beautiful moment, is that you feel we're going to get through this together. This is a past marriage. Why do you feel like you have to get through this together with her if that's in the past?
Because it's ongoing. It's never in the past. Our mistakes stay with us. Our decisions stay with us. And so whenever we make a decision and we're going through something, the worst place to be in is to try to figure something out when you feel alone, trying to figure something out.
Good.
You can be saved. You can have God in your life. You can be super saved, right? But you still need that connection.
Yes.
And so for me, I know, I always remember, and I bear witness with the hurt I caused her in high school. And so for me, I never want her to feel the loneliness that I put on her in high school. Mm. And so whenever she's going through something, whatever it is, I said, baby, now you can tell me.
Yeah.
Ain't there, no place you've been through, ain't no obstacle you, whatever decision you've made is our decision.
Yes.
And we gonna figure this out.
Greg, you gotta say that again. You said whatever decisions you made, we made this decision together?
We made this decision. That's our decision. And we're gonna get through it. Whatever it look like. That's our decision. So.
Yeah, I'm so appreciative of that.
Grab that. Whatever decision you made, we made that decision.
Yeah.
Wow. Even when it relates to a marriage that she had before you, we made that decision, Greg?
We made that decision. That's our decision.
Okay. Kiki, continue.
So,
how long was that marriage?
That marriage, 5 years.
It was 5 years.
That marriage was 5 years. In coming out of that marriage.
Did you file for divorce?
I filed for divorce. And I filed for divorce. When I filed for divorce, he was in another country. Both of us are military. He was in another country. And he had another female that he was already messing with. But prior to that, I had been receiving phone calls and all that stuff at the house. And I received this one phone call. And the young lady, when I answered the phone, she asked to speak to him. And I went and woke him up. She didn't say anything to me, but I could tell out of his reaction and how he woke up, I knew what it was. And after he got off the phone with her, he came to me and said, I don't want a family anymore. I don't want a wife and I don't want kids. I still want to chase skirts. Those were the exact words that he stated to me. Now, our daughter at the time, so my son was 2 years old. Our daughter was 2 weeks old when I got that call. And I had to call my parents because it was still so fresh. I had a cesarean. I still couldn't drive yet. I had to call my parents to come down and to move me and the kids from South Georgia back to Atlanta. Oh, a couple of weeks went back and I'm just feeling like, okay, nobody's gonna want me. You know, I have two kids now. I'm just really devaluing myself. I felt like crap, like I didn't want to do anything. My aunt would try to snap me out of it. The same aunt that asked me if I was sure that that's what I wanted to do. And I went on with it because I was trying to save face. And because I had spent so much money for a wedding and now people were due to show up the next day, I felt I didn't want to disappoint anybody else. So I went on. So I end up moving back. He had called. We had a conversation. I end up going back. But the cheating and stuff never stopped. And at that point, I had never cheated on anybody. But I said, okay, you want to keep doing this to me? I'm going to show you I can do it better.
Yep.
And that's when I became a cheater.
And then how did you feel the first time you cheated?
I felt horrible. I felt like it was so bad. I had to take my wedding ring off. I took it off. I felt like I had turned into somebody else. Yep. I didn't feel like myself anymore. And I wasn't myself. I honestly was not myself anymore.
And then how long did that go on before you just said, I just got to get divorced. I'm tired of playing this game.
So when he left to go out of the country.
And y'all both still in the military at this
both
time?
Both still in the military.
What branch of the military?
Air Force.
Okay.
And I'm still serving now.
Thank you so much for your service.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you.
I found out he was, I saw pictures. I think MySpace or something was out then. Mm. I saw pictures.
Too bad, blast from the past.
Oh, yeah, MySpace. Yeah.
God dog.
I saw pictures and stuff, and I found out about yet another female. Now, mind you, it had been several other ones, but I found out, so I said, okay, enough.
So at this point,
enough.
Did he ever just say that, because he said, I don't want to be married, and I want to chase skirts. Mm-hmm. When y'all got back together, did he say, I'm going to stop cheating? Or did y'all just get back together and never address that comment?
No, he said that he would stop cheating. He wanted to be married. He apologized. He said he wanted his family. All of those things. And that was 2004. Yeah. That was 2004, because that's when when our daughter was born. And then I didn't end up filing for a divorce until 2007.
Okay, so 3 years.
Mm-hmm. So 3 years went by, still the same drama, even more drama.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
So y'all was together for 2 years. He was still cheating. Mm-hmm. Then he said, I want a divorce around the two-year mark. During the two-year mark, y'all separate, come back together, spend another 3 years. Now you've adopted the same ideology of adultery, mm-hmm. and then said, hey, I'm going to play this game too. Yeah. And then did you do that all the way up until y'all got a divorce, or did you just do that for 2 years out of the three, or did you just, like, what did that look like for you?
It didn't start right away. I think it started when I kept dealing with it and I kept finding out about things, and I would ask him and he would lie even though I would know the truth. Yeah. Also, I'm trying to think at what point did it start. I want to say it was after he blamed me for cheating.
Oh, really?
Yes, because one day he said it was, I want to say it was around Valentine's Day or something. And he said he was going to the movies. And I said, okay, like, you're not going to take me to the
That's
movies.
All I'm about to say.
Like, you just going to the movies by yourself. He said him and one of his boys from the military, they was going to the movies.
No, women, ain't no dude going to the movies with another dude. They just not finna be like, hey, you want to go to catch a movie?
Right, that
Unless
part.
It's that type of dude.
That and, part. Yeah. But I was so trusting still and so naive. Yeah, I said, okay. But he didn't end up going to the movies. He had movie passes. But when he came back, those movie passes were still in his pocket and they fell out of his pocket. I asked him about it. You know, he made up his story or whatever.
It's like me saying, Greg, you want to go see The Color Purple tomorrow? You
know right.
What I'm saying, Greg? We're going to dress up in purple. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be cool. You know what I'm saying? We're going to go check it out. You know what I'm saying, Greg?
No. Pass.
My husband like, pass. Not at all.
Aquaman got me.
Color Purple. No. We're going to go see Color Purple.
Terrible.
And so the passes fell out of his pocket. So he had saw the movie. With somebody, right? Or is that?
With somebody.
Yeah.
But he lied and said he didn't go to the movie.
Okay.
So anyhow, he ended some, so I want to say some, I was in his jacket or doing something and I wasn't looking for anything. I saw some condoms and I was like, well, we married. We ain't using no condoms. What are these condoms for? So I left them sitting out and I asked him about him when he got home. And this joker gonna tell
my
me,
homeboy.
Yeah, he found them in my purse. Boy, come on now. Come on.
Rihanna, we can hear you over there. Rihanna, we can hear sigh. Rihanna, we can hear your deep sigh over there,
yeah,
Rihanna.
You found him in my purse. Yeah. Riri, Rihanna, I'm telling you, a mess. Like,
girl,
yeah, a mess.
Rihanna said, oh, okay. this is crazy.
Yeah, yeah. So at that point, you know, and a host of other things, I was like, that's it. Yeah, that I was getting ready to say, I found out one more thing, but that was right after I divorced. That was it. I was done. And then I wasn't getting support from him. I was paying everything. I was taking care. I wasn't getting support. So I moved back up to Atlanta. This was right after, I want to say Katrina. But I moved back up to Atlanta, found me and my kids somewhere to stay, and I filed for divorce, and that was it. But as I was getting divorced,
she done spun the block.
Somebody was getting married.
Oh, wow. Oh, God. This is taking another turn. Oh, Lord Jesus.
What year was
that? Yeah. That was, am I too early?
04,
that
05?
That was 07. So this I divorced in 07.
Our stories are so similar. That's the part.
Yeah.
That
it's crazy.
The stuff wow. that we went through is almost identical.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
I promise you. So I got married. I got married in 05, maybe.
I don't remember.
We weren't talking. So, like, we weren't communicating.
Yeah.
Like, after what happened in my Super Save moment.
Yeah.
Like, we weren't communicating
yeah.
for years. We were then. I may have tried to call us in a text, maybe. But, like, when I got, like, really into the mode of, like, working in ministry and doing stuff, like, I didn't reach back out because I didn't want to cause any confusion.
Yeah.
Right? And so then I ended up. Also, like, I was written to a place where I was wanting to get married. I was like, I wasn't dating nobody. I hadn't been messing around. You know, it was just me. And at that point, it had been probably about 5 or 6 years
mm-hmm.
that I hadn't, you know what I mean, no business was going on. And so I got married. And when I got married, I went through, same thing she went through. And again, this ain't, because we have children. We have two. Yeah. Two beautiful mm-hmm. children. Yeah, this ain't throwing shade.
Of course, it's true.
Yeah. I don't mean her no harm. I have no.
We live in transparency. We keep it lit.
Yeah, but I just want to put that right. out there because I don't want to be in court. So, yeah, we'll go back to court. So, that's the worst place to be in as a man. To go in the freaking courtroom. Listen, man, I feel your hurt. To go in the freaking courtroom knowing that you've done what you were supposed to do as a man, taking yeah. care of your children, and somebody drags you into court and you made to feel like less than a man, like a piece of crap.
Yeah.
Like you ain't doing your responsibility. You got people telling you what you, yeah. man, that was traumatic.
Yeah.
So I had a traumatic experience going through that. But anyway, I got married. I had to get that. And so I got married. And then I went through the same thing she went through.
Who cheated first?
No, but she did.
Okay.
She did. And like, you know, you feel like you're doing everything you're supposed to do as a man. But I never, you know, I didn't go back out and cheat because that would have raped me. Like what she felt, I know I would have felt that. But like, it was like, man, I can't believe I'm going through a divorce. I can't believe you cheated on me. Like even this. The most heartbreaking part for me was when I found out she cheated. It was like I had a dream. Like I literally saw in the dream her crying in the bathroom.
Wow.
I saw my wife at the time. I saw her, I had a dream of her crying in the bathroom. And so I kind of dismissed it. Like, what the heck was that? And then when I found out about it and confronted her, she denied it. Ain't nobody cheating, boy, you tripping. And so, but then when I found out it was for real that she actually had.
How'd you find out?
Man, it was one night. I was waking up about 2 a.m. And like, and then, you know, I don't go through phones. For what? Why are we in a relationship? Like, yep. I gotta go through your phone. And so, but this time I went through the phone. I said, man, this something ain't right.
I don't go through the phone, so but this time man, it's different.
I opened up a phone, I went to looking through exception. It. I started seeing them pics in front of the window with no clothes on of him. Right, you start seeing another man's business.
Yeah.
And then you start seeing the emojis going back and forth.
Yep.
And then you start seeing the credit card payments for, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
What him and her was doing. And so when I confronted her about it, her first reaction was, what you going through my phone for?
I'm not going to address what you saw on my phone, but the point is you violated my privacy by going through my phone.
But even in that, I was like, hey. Let's work through this.
Really? What made you take that heart posture?
Because I got married. We got married.
See, and hold on, but they say men can't deal with that. They say that men, women are more likely to forgive a man for cheating on them, but there's no way men cannot take what other men dish out. So how in the world you'll have this manosphere community will call you a simp at this point? You a simp. You a simp. You taking this woman back after she cheated on you. You done saw these pictures of this other man body parts and your woman sending emojis back and they getting hotel room, all this type of stuff, and you gonna take her back? After she done lied to you, can't even admit it?
Absolutely.
Why?
Because, like, for me, it's the, I made a commitment wanting to be married, right? And part of it, too, is like, okay, stuff happened. Maybe I did something I wasn't supposed to do. Because, you know, you always blame yourself first. But maybe I did something. Maybe I'm not where I need to be. So I need to figure this out. So if this don't work out, I don't repeat this, right? And so I want to know. So, man, I remember the moment where I broke down. I was on my hands and knees. And, man, I remember this moment. This is when I felt my lowest in my life. I was on my hands and knees in front of this woman, begging her on my hands and knees. Because for one, I didn't want my children to grow up in a broken home. I didn't want them to experience. I didn't want my children to experience their parents going through a divorce. So I'm like, I'm begging her, let's stay together for the sake of these children. You can stay in your half of the house, whatever. Let's get these children to a healthy place. I'm begging this woman on my hands and knees. And with all the strength she could muster, she looked at me and she was like, I don't want to be married. I'm done. And so, and that broke me. And it hurt me even more when I found out that she was medicated. She took legal medication so she didn't feel what I was feeling. Because she could, and she knew what the hurt that I was feeling. But she went and got medicated to where she didn't, couldn't identify with those feelings. So she could make the decision she needed to make.
Did she took medication for that?
Yeah.
How'd you find that out?
Because I saw the prescription. And then we had a conversation, and she mentioned that to me. And so now I was hurt even more. I'm like, so you feel the hurt that you're causing. So instead of going through the hurt, you were the self-medicated.
She numbed herself.
So, but while I'm over here in a puddle of tears and all this pain. And so I was like, man, I can't believe this. So it took about a year of processing to get through that. Until then, I moved back home to Atlanta because, man, I had just got a promotion at work. I was making more money. I had moved out, got my own spot, you know, had a spot for the kids. They had their own room. So I was, like, in a good place. But, man, I couldn't. Mentally, I was done. Like, I would be standing in the corner and just start crying.
Yeah.
I work at a computer, just break down.
Oh, I've been there.
Like, I was destroyed.
Oh, I've been there.
Like, ready to cry. Like, we used to have a conversation,
yeah,
break down
crying.
In tears.
Yep.
I was done. Like, I can't even. A woman was flirting with me. Her friends who found out that she didn't want to be with me no more, coming at me left and right,
mm-hmm.
a list of them coming at me.
Yep.
I was like, so if I'm
been
this
there.
Piece of crap, why are your friends? Yep. They know.
Yep.
So they let you go and do your foolishness.
Greg, if you look at my office where I edit my videos, on the wall it says, let your character outlive their lie. Mm. God gave me that quote in 2018 after coming through this very, it was just diabolical situationship with this woman I dated. And the pain of that is what led to me producing this podcast. But I was in that same situation that you were in. And I kept saying, God, this pain is crazy. I ain't never experienced nothing like this.
Yeah.
And I said, and then she lied about me behind my back. She's saying, like, why would she do me wrong and then lie?
Yeah.
And God says, let your character outlive their lie. And I said, God, that take too long. It take too long for
right.
people to see your character. Yeah. That can take a long time.
Exactly.
Yes.
And when I tell you, as sure as I am black, I watch God literally create this platform called the Dear Future Wifey Podcast. And now that person has to witness the blessing of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
One of my friends told me, I have a friend named Renee. She told me, she said, God told me, called me one day out the blue. She texted me and she said, first, she was just sending these prophetic messages to me. And then one day she called me. She said, listen, God, she didn't even know who I was dealing with. She said, God said, whoever you're dealing with, he's never going to bless you on the level he wants to bless you as long as that person's in your life.
Ooh.
And I said, listen, if that person can't be in my life, I don't want the blessing.
Mm-hmm.
That's how much the witchcraft was on me. Yep. I said, I don't want the blessing. And then I end up telling her, I'm already blessed. I don't need to be blessed. I was struggling like a mother talking about I'm blessed.
Yep.
And so the reality of it was, is back there in 2018, being caught in that crazy foolishness. Rihanna was privy to it. Caught in that crazy foolishness. God said, I got to pull you out amongst that. I have so much in store for you. I have blessings that will blow your mind. I will open up the windows of heaven and pour you out blessings you don't have room enough to receive. But I can't allow you to stay attached to this demonic force in your life because they are eating away at your soul. So, Greg, I hear you, King. I hear what you were going through in those moments because I even tried to date during that season. I'll be sitting across the table with somebody and I just go, And I just started, and the people be like, Earth, they'll start snapping and say, Earth to the terrace, Earth to the terrace. I'll be like, what? They said, you just left me. You just zoned out somewhere.
Yeah.
Because even in that heart posture, even in that position of dating someone else that could see my value, I felt like I was cheating on her because she wasn't on the other side of that table.
Mm.
Yep. That's what that demonic warfare is.
Yep.
So when I say I hear your heart, oh, I hear your heart. And that's the reason why I wanted you to come on this podcast is because, and I know none of this, so thank you for your vulnerability. I didn't know any of this, but I knew that the person that was talking to me on that live had a depth and a capacity because you said that you would witness my journey and it gave you permission to love. It gave you permission. It added a reference in your life about, oh my God, here's a man. It's iron sharpening iron.
Yep.
You're looking at me and saying, oh, that's a real dude right there.
Yep.
Now, that's real. I can hear how he talks. He, you know, real recognizes real. And so I said, oh, I need him on here because for whatever reason, this synergy that you and I have from a spiritual standpoint, I recognize that there was some commonality and you just confirmed it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So how did you get back to your place of healing to allow yourself to be loved again?
This is the beautiful part. And I say our story is identical. There's so much more. Mm-hmm. Like, because, man, I got into a relationship. Let me tell you something. I got into a relationship after the marriage. And I just started dating this woman. You talking about being in a demonic relationship. Somewhere you know you ain't got no business being.
Yeah.
And the reason I jumped in is because I got intimate with her. And because I got intimate with her, I felt an obligation because I know marriage.
Yeah.
I ain't got no business out here screwing around and ain't going to make this woman my wife. So I married the woman. Man, listen.
Second marriage.
Man, I married the woman to try to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
And I married her all on the wrong premise. I married her in a place of hurt. Mm-hmm. I married in a place of I'm gonna prove I can do a marriage. I can make a marriage work. I can show my kids that their dad can be in a healthy marriage. I'm gonna make this work.
Oh boy.
And so I married this woman and I had no business marrying this woman. When I tell you that relationship was so demonic, bro, I had no business in this relationship. I was on the phone with a friend of mine, a female friend, and she found out about it. This woman said, if I had a gun, I'd have shot you.
Your friend said that?
No, this is the woman I married.
The wife.
Oh, just because you was on the phone with somebody?
She said, if I had a gun, I'd have shot you.
Because you were talking on the phone to
with a female, a friend. And I told her, like, I have female friends. I'm not finna isolate myself. I said, you can meet them. I said, but I'm like, let's be real. I'm not doing anything. It was a conversation because I can't communicate with you. And so, man, that joke said, if I had a gun, I'd have shot you.
Right. Did you believe
Absolutely. It took me a minute because I felt I didn't want to feel that rejection again.
Yeah.
That marriage didn't last a year. And like I feel for her because whatever help she needs, I pray she gets it. But I had no business in that relationship.
Right.
And I realized, I said, God, I hear you. I hear you, God. I said, I'm not staying connected to this. I said, because I'm gonna end up dead.
Yeah.
I said, because someone can say that, and she said it. She said it like they said in Harlem Nights. You saw my pinky toe. Well, I saw the image. I said, man, I'm going to be dead if I don't get out of the relationship. And so I got out of that. Thank God.
She called you.
She called me.
You said something about a lifetime story. I'm telling you.
She called me.
If you get this whole story of the terrorists, you're going to be crying and laughing. You're going to be laughing your butt off. I'm telling you. And so, but I was able to get out of that relationship, got out of it, and I took some time. Like, I wasn't studying nobody. Like, my heart had gotten numb to the point where I wasn't going to feel it.
White people, if you're watching the podcast, when a person ain't studying you, that means that they're not listening to you. They're not aware of your presence. That's what we say, studying.
Okay? Exactly.
All right.
And so, like, that process kept going. And then I think I started maybe a year or two later, I started dating. but it was like, eh, eh.
Yeah.
And like, I was like, you know what? This ain't working. And so, man, I was leaving drill because I'm in the military as well. I'm in the Army. And so I was leaving drill
thank
one weekend.
Thank you for your service, King.
Yes, sir. Thank you for your service. And so I had a good buddy of mine. Her name was Brandy. And she was like, because she had came back up in my heart again, strong. And so I was like, God, I want to play with this woman. Because I didn't feel like I was where I needed to be spiritually, physically. And I'm alluding to how God will bless you and take you to a place, regardless of, and it ain't got nothing to do with what you feel like you justify or what you deserve. It's what he has for you. It's his plan. And his plan is to bless you. It ain't about what you think you measure up to, because the truth of the matter, he looking at Jesus when he look at you, because we're covered in his image and his blood. But anyway, I was like, man, I can't. I said, man, what if I tell this woman this? And none of this stuff works out. This was like 3 years later, 2 or 3 years later after divorce.
And after my second divorce as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you got married too the second time. Yeah. Boy, this is some parallel stuff here.
We went through the same thing.
How long was your second marriage?
My second one, I think it was 4 or 5 years.
So it was a minute for y'all got back together.
And then I was in another 5-year relationship after that.
Yeah, I know. 15 years. You ain't nothing but 40.
Listen, thank you. I'm going to take it and receive all that. He said it was 24 years before we got back together.
24 years. To the day. February 26, 2018 is when we got back together.
Say that day one more again.
February 26, 2018 was when she walked back into my life.
When I saw him again, he had always been there. And like I said, we went through 2 marriages here, 2 marriages there, another relationship here that I was really praying myself out of that relationship and getting counseling, receiving, asking God for confirmation. I kept getting confirmation after confirmation after confirmation.
Yeah.
And then he sends me a text one day and just says, ask how I'm doing and just ask if he could pray with me. And I was like, what? Can you pray for me and the kids? Of course you can. And then it is history from there.
5 years the first marriage, 5 years the second marriage, 5 years of dating relationship, and y'all been together for 5 years.
Mm-hmm. And we're here on your show.
Yep.
On your podcast.
Yep.
On your podcast.
So, Greg, how did it transition from praying to laying?
I did. I laid out. I got you. But I'm trying to stay in that place. So I laid out an entire message. And like when I started texting, man, tears was running down my eyes because it was like a release. It was like, I'm putting it all out here.
So in that prayer, it wasn't that you just wanted to pray for her from a platonic standpoint. You was like, I want you.
Yeah, but yeah absolutely. 1,000%. But I also want you to know, I love the children. I love you. And my concern is for everybody. I'm not just in here to get you, because I know what comes with you. It ain't just you. It's her children, it's her parents, it's her cousins, her aunties, her uncles, friends who I may get along with, I may not get along with, but because they have value to her, like all of that, I'm ready to take on all of that. Because it ain't just you. You come with a city. It ain't a village.
Yeah.
You come with a city.
Sure do.
Yeah, if not a nation. You know what I mean? I'm serious. So you come with a nation. And so I'm ready to endure whatever that's going to take, because you're worth it. You have that value. You mean that to me. So whatever comes with you, I want you to know I'm here for it. And I ain't going nowhere. Ain't nothing. And it gets realer than that. Mm-hmm. It gets realer than that, because I even told my wife. Y'all Negroes try it if y'all want to. I told my wife, I said, even if we get to the point of infidelity, I ain't going nowhere. There ain't no pass. I don't believe in no passes. But it's the reality of letting you know, look, I'm here. Whatever it look like, we going to get through this.
What does that mean when he says that to you?
Just what he said, that he's here.
Does that make you say, if there's no way on God's green earth I will ever cheat on you?
Yeah, I'm not cheating on him. That point of my life is far gone. I've did that. I've dealt with the results from there. I've had to allow God to rebuild me and give me my purpose back, my sense of purpose and my sense of value for myself. I was able to break through those emotional roadblocks. And because I have broken through those and I know what the other side looks like, I don't want to go back there. Like one of my cousins told me, she said, listen, I don't know what you're doing, but you need to teach a class. She was like, and you and Greg staying together, you can't come back to this pool. I said, girl, I don't want to come back to that pool, okay? At all, period. So I don't want to swim no more.
Answer this. When people hear that, you have some people that say, like, and he prefaced it and said, I'm not giving her a pass. Mm-hmm. But what do you say? Do you look at that as a pass for him to say that?
No, I don't, because that's not where my mindset is.
Do you feel the same way with him?
Yes.
If he were to cheat on you, that you say, I would never leave you?
I would never leave him. I will not leave him.
Why?
I feel that, like you said, this is my purpose partner. I feel this is the man who God has called to be my covering and our children's covering. He is my king. He is my protector. There is nobody else that can fill that role.
I want you to speak to the camera, and I want you to talk to, a lot of people don't know that I have people that, women who have DM'd me, and they've shared that they are cheating on their spouses or whatnot, and that husband will never know. He will never find out. But I want you to speak to them like only you can, and then I want you to speak to the brothers, Greg. But Shaquille, I want you to speak to the women that may be in adulterous relationship, and whatever God allows you to say to them, do so, queen.
Okay. Hello, beauties. I just want you to know that one part of healing is learning how to forgive. You have to forgive all the hurt, the trauma that people have brought to you, or maybe that you've caused yourself. Forgiveness it's a crutch. And if you don't allow yourself to forgive, you are not going to be able to heal. Another part of healing is being honest with yourself. And for those that are cheating, like I said, I've been there before. It doesn't feel good. And you know the saying, hurt people, hurt people. That should not be the motto. That should not be the quote, because you know what it feels like to be hurt, because I'm sure you've been on that side. So you should not want to cause that hurt on anybody else. You have to learn how to break through those roadblocks and release that trauma and that shame that your past has caused you, and admit that you're hurting, because you can't heal until you admit that you're hurting, and seek help. I had to do it. There's various other women that had to do it, and there's nothing wrong with it. One of the things that I learned, and again, I addressed this in my book, and there are steps in there that if you take, it is your roadblock to healing. It's going to take you on a journey, but you have to do the work. You have to do the work. You have to be honest with yourself and start journaling. I found out for myself that it was easier for me to write things out. I can express myself better when I write it out, especially when you're hurting, because it's just you and that piece of paper. Create yourself a safe space. Find some women that you can talk to that's not just talking to you to get in your business. Get you a coach, right? Get you a therapist and get you a coach. Two separate things, all right? You have to move past that hurt.
Good. Thank you so much. Greg, whatever's on your heart, briefly, share it with the audience.
Bros, as men, we kind of have this facade of where we have to portray ourselves a certain way to be respected by other men. Today's society has this saying about an alpha man, beta man, all these freaking letters. And it's like we constantly are letting other people define who we are as men, how we share ourselves, how we want to be represented and seen in the community. An example is just this show, what Leterrace is doing here. He's been very vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
And look at the reach that it's caused. Just imagine if you put down your walls, if you trust who you are as a man, and imagine what God can do in you, through you, and what he has for you. I hope the men that are listening to me get to the point of trusting yourself, trusting God,
mm-hmm.
and then throwing off being concerned about what other people think. So what, you're going to love that woman that way? That ain't their business. That's between you and God.
Mm-hmm.
So what, you want to make sure your kids are taken care of. You want to be there for your children. That is your business. That's your mandate. That's your call. That's between you and God. throw away these titles of these alpha men, throw away this beta man stuff, because that's just something to get you confused. That's just something to have you chasing another imaginary image of what the world says a man should look like, right? A man should look like someone who loves his wife, loves his spouse, loves his family, and wants to make sure they're cared for, protected, and that they have no needs as it concerns their daily needs. So, man, moving forward, know who you are. Mm-hmm. Be comfortable in who you are. Don't feel like you got to be these other men who the world tells you got to be. You know what's in your heart. You know what you love. You know what your strengths are. Trust that. And don't feel like you got to justify that to anybody, because you created in God's image.
Heavenly Father, we come to you thanking you.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you, God, for the vulnerability of this couple. We thank you for their transparency, God.
Yes, God.
Lord, you said that people are overcome by the word of our testimonies and by the blood of the Lamb. So, God, we ask that your blood just covers this couple right now in the name of Jesus. And as their testimony has fallen on the ears of the listeners and the viewers, God, we ask that it be transformative. Yes. We ask that whatever issues and idiosyncrasies that people are wrestling with, yes, God, we ask that you excavate the pain, you excavate the hurt,
yes,
and God, you shower them with your love,
yes,
and forgiveness. Yes. God, I don't take this platform lightly, and I thank you for the trajectory,
yes,
that Dear Future Wifey podcast is on right now. And God, I ask that it continues to heal, set free, and deliver those that glean into this podcast for wisdom, hope, education, love. God, I ask that you just keep doing what you do best.
Yes.
God, as we are on a journey to make our marriages stronger and those that are single that desire marriage, God, I ask that you just be in the midst.
Yes.
God, you are love.
Yes.
Your name means love.
Yes.
And so, God, I just thank you. Yes. We just want to make sure that you stay in the center of our lives.
Yes.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Kiki.
Yes.
How do people get your book?
They can go to Amazon or Barnes & Noble or anywhere books are sold. You also can visit my website at www.KelaTWrites.com.
Spell Kela for them.
K-E-L-A.
K-E-L-A. KelaWright.com.
KelaTWrites.
KelaTWrites.com. Yes. And what made you write this book? Because it's a testimony. So what made you write it?
It is a testimony. What made me write it was because I had been through two divorces, and I would receive so many phone calls from women, from cousins, from friends, whomever would know part of my story, asking me how I made the decision. Because we grew up my father's a pastor. Pretty much all the men on my mother's side are pastors. We grew up in a very spiritual family, and they wanted to know how I made the decision and how did I recover from it and be successful at doing it. And years ago when I was a teenager, I wasn't thinking about having kids or anything. It was prophesied to me that I would write books, and I was like, what? Well, I don't know nothing about writing no books, and I still don't. But I just felt like it was God's timing telling me to write the book. And when I wrote it, we didn't get to even talk about the part. We, even though we've been married 5 years, we lived apart for 2 years, seeing each other when we could during the month for work purposes.
You told me y'all was married?
Me and Greg.
While y'all was married.
While we're married now.
Y'all lived apart.
We lived apart for 2 years. And so it was during that time that I was in my Nineveh that I think that God placed it in me to go ahead and get it out. Get this book out, because I've told you to do this. Get it out. So I just wanted to help women. I want to help women blossom, break through those roadblocks, learn how to heal and forgive so that they can be the best versions of themselves.
Let me ask you this, because I want to end on this. What did your daddy say when y'all finally got together?
My daddy was elated. Like, he called.
Okay, Greg,
I'm going to let you tell it in a minute. He texted, and he was asking if he could have my dad's number again, because him and my dad had talked over the years and whatnot. And I said, yeah, so I gave him my dad's number. I didn't know what he wanted with my daddy, but
Greg?
Go ahead, Greg.
So I wanted to approach her dad and apologize for me hurting his daughter. and then to ask if he trusted me to marry his daughter. And I made a vow to him of what I would do for his daughter, for our children, for his family. And I was asking if my vow was acceptable enough for you to trust me to marry your daughter.
He said, you can't be no worse than the last two, huh?
He was smiling before I could even finish the conversation. He was like, he was so happy. He was in tears.
Did he still have the house? The house he's going to give y'all?
No, he didn't.
Wouldn't that be a beautiful full circle experience?
Yes, it would.
If
it
he said, and here, y'all was living separate or whatever because of due to work. And then he says, and I have a house for y'all to come live together. Well, that's going to be in the movie. The movie's going to be.
That's it. Come on. We receive it. We receive it.
He's going to have a house. He's going to have this house for y'all. We have to kick the tenant out and give it to y'all.
That's it.
But
that's
listen, man, thank y'all so much for y'all vulnerability. Thank y'all. I didn't even know what this interview was going to be about. The main purpose of having you come on, Greg, is just to give a voice to men. To because when I spoke to you on the live and to know that you found so much value in me as a brother, doing this on Dear Future Wifey, I said, I need him. Yep. Because what I believe in is putting remnants. And so what happens is that with you, a guy gave me a mission this year. He said, go after the Adams. And I my own little mantra this year is, Adam, where are you? So I'm intensely going after men. And so when you pulled up on that live, I was like, God, you be hearing my heart's desire.
Yeah,
and so I said, well, come on down here. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
And so what I believe that God is going to do through your testimony, you have no idea. You said at the very beginning, I have no idea about the impact that I'm making. You have no idea what you just did, King. Mm-hmm. You have no idea about the dispensation that occurred from you sharing your testimony as a man. Because Greg, as men, we operate in this toxic masculinity where a woman, you said something that was, you said some gems, and you're gonna see it in the comments. They're gonna be like, that's a gem, that's a gem, that's a gem. You made a comment about even her decisions that she made, that was y'all's decision, whether they're good or bad, those are y'all's decision. That means oneness. That means accountability. That means if we can operate as a couple and say, hey, if you mismanage your, the income, we mismanage our income. Mm-hmm. Because something is off in our, we became one. We didn't become one. Light this beautiful unity candle.
Right.
But then, oh, no, you did that. See, you the one that's making it, and you this and you that. Mm-hmm. No, we did that. Mm-hmm. If we could have that level of intentionality in our marriages, then we can operate not shifting blame on the other. We say, we did this.
But here's the beautiful thing. Like, to attach to what you said, we got to allow our life struggles. We got to see that those struggles are creating the person who we praying to be. And we thinking that those struggles are hindering us. Mm-hmm. Those struggles are sharpening us to be who God has called us to be. And we got to trust God. No matter what it looks like, the naysayers, the people telling you what you is, you're a piece of crap. Like, you got to let that stuff go. And, like, we're so stuck in this traditional way of thinking, man, that we think it's got to look like this. Man, that person, if you sat down with that couple and if you x-rayed their life,
yes,
you'd probably be vomiting.
Yep.
Because you like, man, that ain't what they said. That ain't what they betrayed. I don't want that. You know what I mean? I don't want to go through that. But when we start going through stuff, we start hiding it.
Yeah.
Thinking that, oh, that ain't looking like this. It ain't looking like how Adam did in the garden.
Yeah.
Man, embrace your struggle. Embrace your beautiful chaos. Embrace your beautiful brokenness. And realize God is taking you, allowing you to go through those struggles so that you can be what it is that you're praying and asking God for.
That young boy at 15 years old that asked God for his wife, and through two divorces on both of y'all's standpoint,
mm-hmm.
and you say y'all reconnected 24 years later,
mm-hmm.
God heard your prayer.
Absolutely.
When I say how intentional God was, all the way back from the moment when she saw you in the computer lab and she was just like, mm-hmm. hey, I need him. Let me write this letter. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's like that stuff is beautiful. When I look how God moves, because at any given time, you could have given up hope. You know, and at times you probably just was like, all right, I'm married now. I can't be sitting up and thinking about this other woman. Absolutely. You know, so it is what it is. And then that falls. You're like, well, dang it. Why am I still drawn back to this? All right, well, never mind. All right, now I get with somebody else. And and she's with somebody. It's timing. Timing mm-hmm. is so timing is everything.
Yes, it is.
And so to have y'all finally reconnect for such a time as this to serve purpose is awe-inspiring. Hey, listen, make sure that y'all have any social media pages that people can follow.
Yes. Mine is Kela T. Rice, K-E-L-A T. Rice on IG, and on Facebook is just my name, Shaquila Matthews.
On Facebook is just my name, Greg, G-R-E-G-G Matthews. And on IG, I have a page that's dedicated to the love of my life. It's underscore my forever love underscore on IG.
Why you have a page dedicated to her?
Because, man, I love
his
her.
Wife.
I love her.
You ain't got no page dedicated to him. You got your own Instagram page.
Our, it's our page. Okay, said, it's like said, it's both ours.
Said, I got a page dedicated to her.
Yeah.
So you just post stuff about her?
That's it. Whenever it crosses my heart, whenever I get something happens impactful, I share it and I put it on there.
But you also show vulnerable moments for men on there as well. And I think one thing as a woman, we have to allow our men to be vulnerable.
You better.
Yeah.
If you want him to be soft with you.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, these women be like, I want a man to be, you know, it was a song, Ralph Tresvant, I need a man with sensitivity. Oh, yeah. But then right. You get him, then you call him weak.
Exactly.
Bipolar chick. Like, yeah.
Right.
You wanted a man that's sensitive.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, you too. I need a man. I want a roughneck. You know
what
I'm saying? Yeah. Like, we ought to see about this crazy stuff.
Yeah.
You pop your side head and you're like, I don't need it. It's like, come on. Accept that, man. I love what you said when you was talking to the camera about we let these titles, you know, beta man, sigma man, alpha man, all this stuff, and then we try to find ourselves in the midst of that.
Yep.
And God ain't never told us to be none of that. God just that says be a man after his own heart.
Yeah.
That's
and
it.
So listen, I could talk to them all day. Thank y'all so much for tuning in to Dear Future Wifey podcast. Up next is a letter to my future wifey.
Ladarian. Thrusted suddenly into Child Protective Services in 2015. My nephew, black, a boy. The likelihood of being adopted outside of kinship, slim to none. Armani, 16 years old, black, a boy, with 5 years in the foster care system before I even knew his name. The likelihood of ever being adopted, yep, you guessed it, slim to none. While Ladarian and Armani were trying to survive and barely thrive in an overpopulated and underfunded foster care system, I was living my own life, doing well professionally. Having been a single father with a daughter who at that point was doing well in college, it was my time to live my life, right? Wrong. I felt unsettled, tireless, agitated. There are just too many of our black children stuck in ambiguity and in the limbo of the foster care system. In 2017, I legally adopted my nephew, Ladarian. Fast forward to 2019, I had no ties to this other young king, but I felt God instructed me to adopt him also, and I obeyed. Starting over with parenting should have been enough, right? Working with various foster care and adoption agencies to help bring awareness to the countless young black kings in the foster care system should have decreased my agitation, right? Joining the board of directors of Advantage Adoption, an organization that helps find permanent adoptive homes for children in foster care, should have led to some type of resolve, right? No, not at all. None of it felt like I had done enough. I now realize that every one of those experiences was laying the fundamental foundation for my life's mission, Kingdom Royale. Kingdom Royale will be a luxury state-of-the-art home for foster boys. Our first location will be in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. We will utilize the whole person approach that instills identity, empowers them to advocate for themselves, and enlightens them regarding new perspectives and limitless options that they thought were impossible. Though the young kings will attend the local public schools that are in proximity to Kingdom Royale, our at-home curriculum will broaden their worldview through participating in the arts, attending various cultural events, learning about and engaging in multifaceted discussions about current events and even relevant historical contexts, introducing them to gardening and landscaping and even caring for our animals on our farm and on-site stables. We just launched our startup capital campaign with the goal of raising $2.8 million. Now, why $2.8 million? Well, in 2017, I created a web series in which I performed random acts of kindness for targeting the homeless community. One of the most notable successes was that one of the videos went viral, garnering 28 million views. However, one of my biggest regrets is that I didn't raise a single dollar to help in implementing a more sustainable plan for the homeless community. So throughout the years, with much remorse. I reflected on not maximizing that moment. I knew if at that time, just 10% of the viewers donated $1, we would have raised at least $2.8 million that could have really established long-term support for the homeless community, or at least started a long-term initiative to do so. This is my do-over. This is our new beginning. Together, we can attack this at the root by specifically helping our homeless Black boys who are already disproportionately represented in the American foster care system. I'm LaTerrace R. Whitfield. I've been nominated for 3 regional Emmys documenting my work with the homeless as well as my personal adoption journey. Despite those accolades, the greatest award for me is truly providing the infrastructure for a transformed life. Visit KingdomRoyale.com for more details. Crown a king and make a donation today.
Were y'all blessed by that episode? Listen, the Matthews, gosh, that was just, I love it when I talk to lit people, man. I absolutely love it. So Lit Fam, I hope you enjoyed it. I hope that they made deposits into your love life. Thank you to the Matthews. Well, here's my favorite part of the podcast where I speak to my future wifey. Dear future wifey, I find comfort in knowing that our connection is part of a divine plan, carefully orchestrated by God's perfect timing. As we navigate life individually, I trust that each experience shapes us for the moment we'll come together. In this season of waiting, I'm focusing on personal growth, deepening my faith, and preparing to share a life with you. I believe that when God's timing aligns, our union will be a beautiful testament to His plan. I eagerly anticipate the day our paths merge, and until then, know that you're always in my prayers. With hopeful anticipation, your future hubby.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Dear Future Wifey podcast. Remember, be lit, live intentionally and transparently, and don't stop loving.
Make sure to subscribe to our Dear Future Wifey YouTube channel. We're available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher. We welcome your support. Simply share our podcast with your friends and family.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.